And good afternoon. Welcome to Wyoming Sports Talk today. Larry Prowaty, along with Nick Prowaty. And we threw the bat signal out to both the mayor as well as the City of Cheyenne Chief of Staff. And
well, the mayor got back to me at least
mayor,
this time
mayor's
around.
Busy.
She's busy, but at least we're looking to talk with her next week as well, too, to get her thoughts on what's been developing, at least on the athletic side, again, regarding the Cheyenne Stampede. But did also to reach out to one, at least Chief of Staff, Eric Fountain. Again, Eric, thank you for at least getting back to me and, again, at least jumping on the show today to discuss a few things of what's happening, again, around the Cheyenne Stampede, not to at least alert you as well, too, as I at least alluded to, Erica. Don't be intimidated, even though I'm wearing the Stampede jersey right now.
Oh, man, I'm afraid. I'm afraid.
Anyway, Eric Fountain joins us here, the City of Cheyenne Chief of Staff. Eric, thank you so much for joining us on Wyoming Sports Talk today. And again,
thank you guys.
You know, we're going to try not to, you know, beat you to death on this thing. And
sure.
Again, you know, it's news. It's big news. There is a cry on one side for the fans of the Stampede to say, hey, what the heck is going on here? The city has their side. We want to know what's going on. And hopefully you can open up a little bit, because I know we will have Mark Lance on tomorrow to get his side on where things are progressing. So let's talk about the Stampede. How important are the Stampede to the City of Cheyenne?
I think they're very important. I think of a club hockey organization that brings something to the community to do. You know, we hear all the time there's nothing to do in Cheyenne, but this is another flavor item that gives the community some completeness, and it also gives them an opportunity to get a little bit of hockey under the palate and have something to do on a Friday night and a Saturday night. I think anytime you have an organization that can bring something to the table that's beneficial to a community, it's important.
So we look at some things that changed under this administration from the Rick Kaysen administration, where, again, the Stampede came in under Rick Kaysen's administration and then
at least had a contract develop under that administration that had to get revised under the new administration.
So let's talk about some of the issues that the Stampede has versus the city.
Sure.
For example, ice time went up. And then go ahead and give us the city's view on why ice time went up.
Sure. So I think one thing that's kind of important to understand is that this was not a first-time negotiation change to a contract. This was their fifth negotiation time for a new contract in Mayor Kaysen's administration as well as Ms. Orr's administration. The uniqueness to where we're going now versus in the past is we are data-driven. So the city has always been kind of anecdotal in how they gathered that data and how they defined ice prices. We decided that it was best to reach out to the Mountain States area, look at what the WSHL has out there in regards to other teams and relationships they have with ice facilities, and then narrow that down to municipalities that own the ice facilities versus private enterprises, because it's a very different conversation when you're having those types of...
Now, is this based on population?
Population's a consideration in there. Usage is a consideration. The type of facility that it is and what the other resources and avenues that it offers to a community as well. So there's a whole different palette of conversation that has to happen. The one thing that was very apparent to us from the beginning was that under Mayor Orr and the current city council, they had taken a look at the overall subsidizing to the Civic Center as well to the ice rink. And so they want to narrow that subsidy down. If it possible, we'd like to eventually get to where they're self-sustaining and we don't have to subsidize them like we do other facilities.
Right.
The other piece of that is that when you look at what it costs to cool ice, make ice, develop ice, and then overall operations of the building, you take all those factors in consideration and then you come up with a number. Then that number's reduced at around 65%, to be honest with you, because that's the going factor when you look at what can a club hockey program afford for ice. There's another part of that conversation, and that was for a long period of time, the price of ice had always been the same, and they had been allowed to utilize the facility as of an open door, but they were the primary users of the facility. That has now changed as well with the bumper cars. You have the Capitals program, the figure program's getting going. They're offering curling. They're looking at some other avenues to reach out to the community because it's a recreational facility first and foremost. The other part of that would be when you look at how you developed the program over time and where it's at today is a very different conversation from 2011 to now. New opportunities in Cheyenne, and Larry and Nick, you guys both know this. You open a new restaurant in town, everybody goes. It's got a lot of support. Everybody wants to be there. But then as time goes on, some of those things trickle down, and a little bit of disillusion there. And so for us, we had to redefine how business is done for the city, because we didn't want to end up in the same bracket or boat as the private investment group that started the Cheyenne Ice.
And let's stop right there.
Sure.
And I'm glad that you brought that up. When it first came out as the Icon Center / Taco John's Center, now into the Cheyenne Ice and Event Center. I mean, let's be real. Prior to the stamps coming onto that ice, it was an albatross. And I mean, it was a big sore. Not so much that no one. I mean, it was not a beautiful facility, but no one was using it.
Right. Well, it was a reduced obligation too. I think once the city was able to acquire the facility, there wasn't that same financial obligation that had been there in the past to the investment group, as well as all the priorities of loans, etc., to the operation of the facility. And so, I think there was a little bit of belief that by the city obtaining the facility, they could maintain because there wasn't as much cost associated. The costs are still there. There's just not a mortgage payment anymore. So right. You can reduce that factor, but you didn't reduce any of the other factors that played into that.
So essentially, again, just kind of recap of what you just said there, it's pretty much of just trying to figure out an average number of what was going on with other teams around the league, at least supplementing for at least similar population size, seeing what cities had to pay, or at least those teams had to, but also just trying to at least something that was addressed also too in that kind of infamous article that was produced in the Tribune Eagle by one Tyler, at least Pulaski, where in the quote by the mayor where she said, yeah, we're trying to eliminate that subsidy, trying to not put that at least levy on the taxpayers of the city of Cheyenne, which again, hey, all respect about that. But my question for you, Eric, in something that has been kind of tossed out from GM Mark Lance, or at least owner Mark Lance, where and something that we're trying to at least decide as well, too, is that those times that the Stampede do at least practice there were, again, during kind of the winter months, it's during school time.
It's downtime on the ice.
It's downtime, so to speak, where why kind of up those times, or at least up those rates for the Cheyenne Stampede, where, again, there's not really hard evidence to show what would happen if Stampede don't practice at that time, but also, too, there's really no kind of logical explanation that's going to pick up that ice time during those times when, again, a lot of folks around that 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock afternoon hour are not heading over to the Cheyenne Ice and Event Center to go play bumper cars or ice skate during that time. So, again, ice times at that time, why up the rates for the Cheyenne Stampede when probably no one else is going to be paying for that ice around that time?
That's a good question. So when you look at ice in general, 24-hour operation, the ice price doesn't vary between nobody on the ice at 2 a.m. and nobody on the ice at 2 in the afternoon. The cost of operation is still exactly the same. So when you look at how you do business and how we need to do business, that is an understanding of the users of the facility, which is the Stampede. It wasn't an isolated incident to just the Stampede. There was a rate increase with the Cheyenne Capitals. There was rate increases for the Figure program. So across the board, and those rate increases were really minimus when you look at the bigger picture, the bigger problems with where we're kind of going.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you want to talk about the ice price for the Stampede, you also need to look at the largest number of participation was 168 people, I believe, tickets sold, actual tickets purchased. They had one day, they only had 22 tickets purchased, and that could have been a Sunday afternoon game. But there's a big strong piece of this, because in that same article, and it's on social media, it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
There's allegations of 700 participants going out and watching the facility. Well, if there are, it didn't reflect that in the ticket sales. And so, you know, I don't know that the ice price really is the issue, or the timing that you use the ice is the issue. Mm-hmm. I think there's it's how you do business. And the conversation that we had with Mr. Lance was very open, and he was open and honest as well, in that it's probably time for him to take a look at his business model. We take a look at our business model, and then we reconnect. And that's where the negotiations started from.
Well, and again, I think you're absolutely correct, where it was kind of a minimal, at least issue for the Cheyenne Stampede, where, you know, hey, we're gonna deal with it, and it is what it is at this point in time. But the big issue, or at least something that has been kind of a flag for Mark Lance, and something that he's discussed with us of what was just kind of an issue for this season, was losing at least the board, at least advertising opportunities, where in the past the Cheyenne Stampede, at least in their own outright, took care of the boards. They sold the boards. They got that money, that revenue. And again, I do believe a 35% at least commission rate went back to the city of Cheyenne, according, or at least from the
paper. the city got 40, and the Stampede got 60.
Okay. So, again, still, though, at least city got their cut from at least commissions made by those boards being sold. And then, again, learning from this past season where that opportunity was taken away from the Cheyenne Stampede. So just kind of give the explanation behind that, or at least the reasoning of kind of removing that aspect for from the Cheyenne Stampede.
Let's use our words. They're taken away. The city decided to take it over this year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that actually is wrong. And so we did not take away the advertising. We again looked at how we do business, and there was some definitive pieces that we knew without the no-compete clause, which we don't operate under, that there was a possibility that perhaps the Stampede, perhaps the Capitals, perhaps the Figure program would like to have that opportunity to get out there and sell that advertising as well to support their programs. And so by being a non-inclusive opportunity, we opened it up to the public. The uniqueness of that as well is it gives everybody a chance to support and do what they need to do. And they weren't able to do that by just having the Stampede be the sole individual selling advertising. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't taking it away. Also, there was not this big city going to get 40%. In fact, what we decided to do was we would find the cost of operations to sell the Dashers and how that would work. And then we went out and offered those opportunities to all the programs, and they could buy as many Dasher boards as they want, sell them for whatever price they wanted to sell them for. The city got their cut from that, and it was a great opportunity to do some fundraising for the Stampede, the Capitals, and that Figure program, as well as curling.
We're talking with Eric Fountain, Cheyenne, City of Cheyenne's Chief of Staff. Eric, you know, so we don't have a he said, she said type of battle here on the air, and I don't want to get into this because I appreciate you coming in and giving us the city's point of view. Let me ask you this. If the Stamps, and again, they have gone dormant this season, mm-hmm. what does it do to the city? I mean, that's a significant loss of income for, again, a facility that you're looking to, again, make sure it pays for itself.
And piggyback off of that, it's not just going direct to the at least city of Cheyenne government, but also to, again, going back to that article of the findings, and again, just those analytics that were passed along that we also at least looked into about what, $750,000 at least annual revenue coming into the city as a whole, whether it is to local businesses, local hotels, local restaurants. Again, it was $750,000 at least.
The trickle down effect, ice to hotels and restaurants.
Yeah, and I think it's a respectable part of the conversation. What's unique in that is over the last couple of days, we've done a little bit of work as well, because the data needs to support that. Again, having anecdotal conversations about how you market a program or how you market a facility is very unhealthy, whether it's a private business or a government entity. You can't do it that way. So what's unique in that is I've never seen any data from anywhere that specifically can support $750,000. So I started checking with the hotels, said, hey, and I come to find out that one hotel specifically, as a sponsor, is the primary usage hotel for the Cheyenne Stampede, $12,000. So the next question comes, if I allow for $6,000 for food generated from those people coming to town to participate, another $6,000 in perhaps sales revenues or perhaps, you know, something else, and another $6,000 for that, I have to step back and say to myself, I see about $60,000 direct impact annually. And then I have to take into consideration what the Stampede, how much ice time they buy, practice time they buy, game time, you know, food and beverage within the facility itself. And I'm still well under $150,000. And so I'm just trying to figure that out myself, but I still don't have I can't actually say this is hardcore data. And I don't know if anybody actually has that hardcore data. You hear people talk about it. You hear them say, we believe this is the impact. But it's easy to get a number with that if you say, for instance, Civic Center. Let's say I had 1,000 people come to a show and each person paid $15 for a ticket. I can see that number. And that's quantitative, and it's absolutely measurable for the success. Everything else that went with it, I don't know unless I go back. And with our new ticket sales program, which the Stampede participated in, saved them money, and it actually gave them data. And we can actually see where tickets were purchased, where those residents live, and shocking, most of the participants that go to the games live right here in Cheyenne, unless their parents are coming in to support their kids from another team. So it really gets down to a macro level or a micro level conversation. And so I again, you know, as we begin to negotiate this and go forward again to try to find the resolution, that data is really important, and I think some of the players may be the chamber, some of the players may be Visit Cheyenne and get those people together to say, let's pinpoint this down and try to find a way to really see the economic impact within the community.
We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back and we'll chat more with Eric Fountain after these words here on 1480 KRA.